3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Ponte Vedra listens at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. Each and every day, we come to you. We cover issues which I believe are important to Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America. I believe that it's time that we sit up, stand up, be vocal, verbal, visible, be seen, be salt and light, as God has called us to be as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about yesterday on the broadcast, crisis in America. I'm going to continue a little along that line, but in Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel asked the question, how should we then live? So ladies and gentlemen, with what we see happening today, from the White House to the college campuses to Gaza, Israel, the Biden administration stumbling, bumbling, mumbling, destroying our nation, how should we then live? What should be our response? How should we respond to some of these tragic, traumatic, terrorizing things that we see taking place today? I believe we need to look at all that is taking place in our world and nation and our city and state through the lens of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the Bible. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview simply means we look at all events, all happenings, both civil government, biblical, theological, doctrinal, church issues, home, family, what some call political issues. We need to look at all of that through the prism of what does the Word of God say. See, ladies and gentlemen, listen, none of the things that we see happening today takes God by surprise. God's not sitting back in the Colin Day front porch of heaven and saying, woe is me, I wish I could control those things. God didn't create the world, fling it into existence, and then sit back and go on a vacation. God is still sovereign. He's still in control. But yet man has volitional choice. And it's the volitional choices of man that I believe has placed America in a crisis position today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this at the outset. Perhaps you've heard this old cliche before. But today is the very first day of the rest of our lives. And as we think on the subject, how should we then live? All of us must seriously ask the question, how will Christians, conservatives, patriots, the average Americans live in the days, the months, and the weeks, and the years ahead? If Jesus tarries, how should we then live? As we look at the evidence that is around us, we see only corruption and chaos and calamity on a scale that I don't believe seen in America in the past 100+ years. I'm still under 100 myself. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we are in a position. In fact, Jay Sekulow with ACLJ said it is a state of rot, R-O-T, rot, in American culture today. And ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the issues, we'll be talking about today what's happening on the campuses across America with the Islamic jihadists. We'll be talking about what Biden is doing in the attempt to control everything that we do as an individual, where we go, what we drive, what we cook our food on, how we heat our homes, what we say, what we hear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all under the scrutinizing eyes of Big Brother. And Biden feels that he is responsible, has the capability of, by fiat, simply controlling all of the activities, actions, words, and deeds, everything that's said in America. We're going to look at some of those things today, scrutinize it through the lens of what does God's Word say. Does any of this take God by surprise? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so looking at the Scripture. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, there's a declaratory statement made that we need to grasp. The Scripture says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. There may be the approach today, as is found, that you discard truth, you diss truth, you disagree with truth, and you want to tell a half-truth. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And you can stand on truth, ladies and gentlemen, whatever circle you're in, political or otherwise, and you'll have those that want to chide, challenge, condemn, and put to naught what you're saying as truth. There's a mindset today that there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's a reality that truth, bifurcated, divided, becomes a whole lie. You can take a half-truth and it's a whole lie, and I've said that for many, many, many times now. But truth matters. The fact is that the 18 to 35-year-old age group, they're called the millennials. Rush Limbaugh used to call them the mushheads. I've called them airheads. Those that have been brainwashed. Those that have been weaponized to carry out the Marxist agenda. We're seeing that come to fruition today. But that age group, ladies and gentlemen, those that are doing the sit-ins, Harvard and Yale and Princeton, all of the other, how would you say, prestigious universities across America, fall into the category, 18 to 35-year-old age group. This is what they say according to the latest survey. 55% of Americans, 18 to 35, think that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Truth is truth. You can't bifurcate truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge, defending the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, are you doing that? Are we standing on truth today? If we stand on truth, it's an impossibility to embrace a lie. If we stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, it's an impossibility to embrace murder by way of abortion. If we stand on the truth of the Word of God, it's an impossibility to embrace the butchery that's taking place under the leadership of Joe Biden to cut off healthy body parts under the transgenderism move that is prevalent. If we stand on truth, the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to embrace the sodomite LGBTQ agenda that is so prominent today. So I consider truth to be the first, foremost, and final authority, and that's the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Tampa can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Tampa is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, a way to find the home of Tools for Tampa. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing at the top of that pole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Tampa. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Tampa is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Tampa is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Tampa is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Tampa to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Tampa, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Tampa. ToolsforTampa.com. ToolsforTampa.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me give you that telephone number. Right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our lines and invite you to call in. Talking about a subject today that's varied, but yet has a commonality in that it is out of the Oval Office, out of Joe Biden's edicts by executive order. And some of those things will frighten us when we understand what is taking place out of the Oval Office. Joe Biden is not capable of running for president. He's not capable of being president. He's never been elected president. He's simply the puppet for the Obama administration carrying out his third term through the puppet Joe Biden. Joe Biden, all of the handlers of Joe Biden need to be charged with senior abuse, elder abuse. That's exactly what's happening. But he doesn't realize that he cannot find his way out of a room because of his cognitive inability. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're to believe that he's running for president and that we need to have him look at him as one of the choices for the November the 5th election this year for the president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened to see where we are in our nation. I'm saddened to see the crisis that's taking place in our nation today. It's evident that the Marxists are in full control of our Department of Education, all of our colleges, universities, in the tight grip of the Marxist communists. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that's true, look at the endowments. Look at the, I believe it's Columbia University, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, you go back and refresh the numbers, they have about, I believe I'm told, 37,000 students. And almost 20,000 of those are from Islamic jihadist nations. Let me repeat that. With about 37,000 students, almost 20,000, I believe the number is 19,000 some odd students, from Islamic jihadist nations coming in from all points and beyond. And we're watching. And I can say that would probably be, if we could check the records, that would probably be the case history of each of the other of these colleges and universities that are today being dominated by the Islamic jihadists, waving the so-called Palestinian flag, taking down the American flag. I'm looking at a headline that says, pro-Hamas protesters occupy Columbia faculty building, holding some hostage. Anti-Israel protesters have reached a boiling point at Columbia University, where pro-Palestinian protesters have barricaded themselves inside Hamilton Hall. The protesters stormed the building early on Tuesday as a part of the broader demonstration against Israel's military operation in Gaza. Using metal glass gates, that is, to block the doors, positioning wooden tables and chairs as obstructions in front of the entrances and securing some doors shut with zip ties. Hamilton Hall houses key administrative offices such as the Columbia College Dean's Office, admissions, and the core curriculum program. The takeover of Hamilton Hall occurred nearly 2 weeks after the university president on April the 18th gave approval for the New York Police Department to dismantle the Gaza Solidarity encampment on the campus. Goes on to talk about how many people thus far have been arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem. Don't know if you're aware it or not, but they hold out about 6 or 8 busloads. I think they said 200, 300, 400 students off the campus last evening of Columbia University campus. But you know what takes place? They hold them in. They book them. They release them. And then expunge the record. In fact, one of the students that they had happened to talk to the cameraman and to the news media. I don't know what media. I think it was Fox News had a person out there. Asked one of the demonstrators, one of the rioters, one of the jihadists, what did they think about it? And he said, no problem. We'll be back in 24 hours. They will book us, release us, and we'll be back. They know the system. They know the route that is taken with that. And as a result of that, they're not afraid of it. But when you look at Harvard students now on Harvard campus, Harvard students remove American flags on the campus. Pro-Hamas Harvard University students removed American flags on at least three campus buildings. Old Glory was replaced by the Palestinian flag. This writer says, seems to me if American universities refuse to fly the American flag, we should refuse to send them our tax money. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that we have several of the stand-up guys, the American patriots that's in the U.S. House, that's already opening investigatory committees, setting up investigatory committees to investigate what is taking place with the billions of dollars in tax money that's going from the taxpayers, your pocket and mine, going from the taxpayers to help finance, if you will, these universities. I'm told that Harvard University has about $500 million plus in their endowment fund. Most of the others, like Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Dartmouth, Brown University, UCLA, et cetera, most of them have mega hundreds of millions in funds, so they don't really care if parents say, I'm going to pull my child out. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is taking place today. The U.S. Department of Education, just a little pet peeve of mine, let me touch on it. I may have shared this with you before. We didn't have a U.S. Department of Education until the Jimmy Carter administration. U.S. Department of Education has nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, to do with education. U.S. Department of Education is run by the political pundits for the DNC, Democratic National Convention, or committee. Most of them, if not all of them, are liberal, socialist, Marxist Democrats that runs the U.S. Department of Education. Education as an academic has plummeted since the U.S. Department of Education under the Carter administration. I believe it was in 72, 73, might have been as early as 71 when that was set up. Don't have that before me. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, we're witnessing today the end result. Listen, and these colleges and universities that are today being controlled, hijacked, and controlled by the Islamic jihadists, taking down the American flags, destroying buildings, keeping students and our faculty members hostage. I believe they need to be arrested, the book thrown at them, thrown in jail, and wait until the trial. But no, you'll try to try Donald Trump on false charges in the same district, the same areas of New York that you're finding most of this taking place. You will allow thugs to go free with just a rap on the knuckles. You will allow the laws to be trodden underfoot, but you will use a lawfare approach, fake law, if you will, to persecute Donald J. Trump to try to prevent him from being elected. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? What's your response? How do you feel about, what are your thoughts about what is taking place in America? What's taking place in the universities? What are your thoughts about the Biden administration? We'll talk about this also in a moment. What are your thoughts about the Biden administration lifting the rules and regulations on marijuana? Yes, you heard me right. Joe Biden is grappling at straws on trying to appease every category of the American voters in hopes to appease them enough to get a few extra votes out of each age group. We're witnessing that taking place today. It was Alan Dershowitz, ladies and gentlemen. I think I covered this on yesterday's broadcast, but it's so apropos for today. Dershowitz warns the useful idiots now protesting are being groomed for terrorism. Part of the article reads, he says they're useful idiots to those who have more nefarious motive behind the protest and the violence. But the threat is that they're being groomed for future terrorism. And he goes on to talk about some of the signs, say pro-Palestine, ceasefire now, in the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But these benign statements, Dershowitz says, had a far more malignant agenda: the end of Israel as a nation state of the Jewish people, and the end of America as the world's leading power, and the end of democracy and the free market economy. These students are shouting, "We're Hamas, death to America, burn Tel Aviv to the ground, Jews go back to Poland." The chant "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free" is pervasive. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, a tectonic change in America. America's at a crossroads. America's at a crisis point. What do we do? How do we then live? How do we respond as conservatives? Should Christians be concerned? Absolutely. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as we see these things taking place, we're witnessing the demise of our religious liberties, our freedom of speech. Because, listen, what is not being said in these high-profile newsreels about what is happening on the college campuses, what is not being said by the Marxist media, the socialist Marxist Communist Network News, is that behind the scenes, the Biden administration and his strings being pulled by George Soros, Barack Hussein Obama, and other Marxist communists that are basically using Biden as a puppet, there's a major push to destroy our Bill of Rights, our religious liberties, our freedom of speech. And if our religious liberties are destroyed, ladies and gentlemen, are curtailed in any fashion, we will cease to have the privilege of having worship services. We'll cease to have the religious liberties and the freedom to have evangelism, to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should concern each and every one. I'm not saying these things to frighten us. I am prayerfully saying them to motivate Christians, conservatives, and patriots to stand up. It's time to stop being silent. I'm not advocating that we go out in the streets and do as these Marxists are doing today in the taking over the colleges and so forth. But ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration is doing everything possible to control your life and my life. The Biden administration today has literally turned its back on Israel as a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first three verses, it is absolutely clear. God's going to bless the nation that blesses Israel and curse the nations that curse Israel. And the Biden administration has been negotiating through their Secretary of State, negotiating behind the scenes with the jihadists, and negotiating in front of the scenes with the American interest in helping Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration has just performed, I believe, the final straw in the breaking of the camel's back, as it used to be called back in my era. But ladies and gentlemen, the America has literally, through our president, turned our backs on the nation of Israel. We've not heard a squeak from Biden or the Marxist Democrats of what's happening in these college campuses. Listen, where's the FBI? Where are the National Guards? Where's the DOJ? Where are those in the House of Representatives on the Marxist Democrat side screaming that this is illegal, this is wrong? Where are the voices from the ones that are Palestinians themselves, as they call it? That is, the Marxists that are wanting to destroy America. You don't hear anything from them. In fact, very recently, I find it very, very shocking that on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, had the little small Palestinian flags waving them in all of the Democrats in support of the Palestinian jihadists that are literally rising up today in America to take control of our system of government and to destroy our constitutional republic with the representative form of government that God has given us for all of these years. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, we're watching today with college presidents staying in the closet, hiding under the bed, not taking a stand, as the anti-Semites literally are spearheading the fomenting of the cancer in America. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say something, poor grammar, but it makes a point, it ain't going to stop unless law enforcement intervenes. I personally believe that the DOJ must do something. The FBI must do something. I believe there's a must call to put National Guardsmen on the streets and on the campuses in those areas to prevent this from continuing to foment. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in New York, it's not just in D.C., not just in some of the campuses like in University of North Carolina, UCLA in California, etc. It is around the globe. It is festering and going like wildfire, out of control. We're witnessing, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the build-up to another major, major Holocaust, as we saw in the 30s and 40s under Adolf Hitler in the German regime. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for American Christians and patriots, conservatives, to stand up. It's time that we say enough is enough. It's time that we take a stand and say that we are not going to allow this to happen to America. The Biden administration has allowed and promulgated the push for Benjamin Netanyahu to be, how would you say, referred to the International Criminal Court. I'm looking at the headline. Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ newsprint. Breaking news. The International Criminal Court, the ICC, is poised to issue an arrest warrant for the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is a massive escalation in the war being waged against Israel. Israel's enemies are not only firing rockets and missiles, they're also waging lawfare against our only ally in the Middle East, trying to persecute Israel. Hamas is winning. I'm reading now from Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ. Hamas is winning. Iran is winning. And the vile anti-Israel left is winning. Biden could further betray Israel, leaving them in extreme peril against these absurd war crimes charged from the International Criminal Court. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration could stop it in a heartbeat. The problem is they're not willing to, they're not wanting to, they do not want to. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. One of the things that I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that God's Word says in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, I stated it earlier, I emphasize it once again. Any nation, every nation, all nations that bless Israel, God shall bless. Any nation, all nations that curses Israel, God will curse according to His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, via his handlers, are warning to take full control of everything that's done in our lives. What do you mean by that, perhaps you say? Let me just give you an overview, then we'll look at some of the thoughts on that individually. But ladies and gentlemen, do you realize since Biden has gone in office, he's signed over 100 executive orders. I think the number is actually about 110. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that at this very moment, the Biden administration's goal is to control where we go, what we drive, what kind of fuel we use, what kind of home we live in, what kind of curriculums used in the schools, forcing teachers and students to use certain pronouns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to forcing the medical society today through the CDC and the FDA to perform procedures that are unheard of, ungodly, unbiblical, and wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all by executive order that this is happening. The socialist Marxist media in control, ladies and gentlemen, today of the promulgation of anything that said positive about the Biden administration, trying to elicit from we the people a few votes before the election in November. We need to be very, very careful and understand that we are in a major, major, major state of dilemma in America. So what should we do? How should we then live as we look at the crossroads of America, the crisis that we're in? First of all, we need to pray, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face and ask Him to heal our land. Only God can intervene and heal the land. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break, about 1 minute. Be back right after the news. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and